welcome to another live broadcast of Anime Talk. My name is Joe, and I will be your host again tonight. I have three great guests with us. First, a little bit about myself. I'm a writer at We Remember Love. You can find me on Twitter at JoeAnimated, where you can also submit some questions for our guests. Just hit me up there. And if I don't catch you there, you can always hashtag your questions with Joe's Anime Talk. But let's get on to our first guest. Kyokai, why don't you start?
All right. Hello, everybody. This is Kyokai from Metanon.net. Some of you already know me. Those of you who don't, I am, you can say, known as the boss lady of Metanon. And I run a team of around 10 active writers right now. And we have, we are kind of episodic blog, but I do not want to categorize ourselves as episodic blogs. So we are a team blog having, you can say, all-around anime experience from convention and stuff. You can check out our about pages for more writer information. You can find me on Twitter and IRC channel of Metanon.
All right, thanks a lot. Next up, we have Raising. Sorry, I said that wrong. I apologize. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I don't actually know how to pronounce my name, to be honest. Hi, I'm Rizang. I am the guy from toxicmuffin.wordpress.com, and my Twitter handle is RizangRaz. Pronounce that however you will, and I'm glad to be here.
All right, well, thanks for joining me tonight. And then last but not least, we have Landon. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Landon from Mecha Queen Novel, and I'm getting some really bad feedback here, so hang on a second.
Somebody had a cell phone too close to a mic.
All right, there we go. Yeah, I'm Landon from Mecha Queen Novel. There's a dash in that address deal there, and yeah, I write an anime blog, I guess you can call it that. It pretty much is an anime blog just because that's just what happens when I do what I write about. So, that's about all I have to say. Let's get on to this.
So, tonight is kind of a character-driven night. We're going to discuss a lot about favorite characters and such. Let's get to our first question. So, for my panel of guests, who would be your all-time favorite anime character? Landon, why don't you start?
My choice is Vamp from Astro Fighter Sunred. He is basically who I would want to be if I was an anime character.
Okay. For what reason, then?
For one thing, I like that he is a villain. Pretty much, if I was in an anime, I would want to be a villain. Because they're awesome. Heroes, yeah, whatever. But at the same time, not only is he this awesome villain, he is also basically the perfect domestic hero. He can cook, he can clean, he can keep order of the house, and that is awesome. That is like taking over the world and keeping track of the house. That's like the pinnacle of humanity right there.
All right. Kyokai, what about yourself? Who would be your favorite all-time character?
People who know me already know this answer, but it is Ryogi Shiki from Crown of Kyokai. I just have this thing with this character. She is so complex, and there are times that you find a lot about her. There are past, present, future problems and whatnot. She is one of those characters who you can see through, go through many, you can say, progress points, as we say in anime. But she just gets out of it. And she is not your moe, you know, typical heroine. She's very strong. She takes on everything. So I think that is the reason that I really admire her, because even after whatever she has gone through, she has the strength to stand on her own feet and do very inspiring things, even if she wants to murder some people, but still, it's still good.
All right, and Rizing, what's your...
Okay. This is a pretty tough question, you know. I'm going to have to go with Haruma Kenji from School Rumble. And I think it should be quite obvious why, but he's pretty funny. You know, and it's not just that he's really funny. He's always kind of inspirational to watch, you know. everything goes wrong for him, but he never really stops trying or anything. He just goes, nope, I'm an idiot, but I'm going to keep going ahead and keep being an idiot. But hopefully I'll get something right. Yeah, Kenji's hilarious. Love him.
Sounds good. And then, kind of in a more specific genre, are there any, you know, specific female characters or female leads that have inspired you? You would find that, you know, are above and beyond the typical, you know, maybe the moe or the harem style female lead character that you guys either admire or you appreciate for that unique step above the generic role. Kyokai, since you're our only female guest tonight, why don't you start off?
Okay, so we have already, like, talked about Ryogi Shiki, so I'm not going to repeat her name. I have two more names that I want to discuss. Number one has to be Chihaya from Chihaya Furu. Now, she's not your typical girl, and I think that is the reason that I like her, because she's such a tomboy. And however she is always, you know, trying her best to achieve what she wants. Of course, you know, there are, you know, blank points in her. She becomes an airhead, but, you know, who doesn't do that? So, what I like about her is her strength to, I mean, do whatever to achieve her goals. Number two has to be Akashi from Tatami Galaxy. It's strange that some of my most favorite female characters are voiced by Maya Sakamoto, but that just happens to be so. So Akashi, I don't know if, I mean, Tatami Galaxy is not one of those anime that a lot of people check out, but it's really good. And you see a very feminine side of this female character who will always give you, like, you know, deadpan looks and everything, but then she would have that cute side to her as well, which would actually get scared from moths. So it's very endearing kind of a role. She doesn't have a lot of screen time, but whenever she does in the anime, she just lights up the screen. So again, very different types of females, but I think the only thing that you know, breaks them apart from the other stuff is that they are not a generic anime heroines, and I think that's what get them noticed.
Alright.
Yeah.
And Landon, what about yourself? Are there any female characters that in your mind stand out above the top?
She'd also happen to be my second favorite character of all time, and that's Hamyets from the Book of Bontora. And what's awesome about her is that you never really know what's going on inside her head. Because at first you think that, you know, she's just this generic, you know, super powerful, almost like, I don't know, Alucard from Hellsing or something like that. But then as the series goes on, you find out that, you know, there's all this stuff going on. I mean, I don't want to spoil everything, but basically, you know, she has her own agenda, but at the same time she's working against that agenda, and it's complicated and convoluted, and it makes her this really fascinating character. Because, again, you just don't know exactly where she's coming from. And usually in anime, you know, you can pretty much tell what's on a character's mind. They're pretty straightforward like that. And in her case, I thought that she was probably the best example of a character where you can never quite get a full grasp of what's going on there. And that's really what made her really fascinating for me.
You guys keep bringing up a bunch of shows that I have yet to watch in my comparable infancy in my anime watching. But
you totally need to see that one.
I have to see those shows too. You guys should remind me again some other time.
And the Tatami Galaxy. I'll throw in another one for that too.
See that.
You guys have to. It's very interesting.
I know. I just started watching Utena this week, so I'm way behind on some of my classics or some of the top of the chart stuff. But even then, the female lead in that, even in the first episode, definitely presents an interesting character for me that hopefully continues to get better as the show goes on.
Yeah, but, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. But, okay, Rizing, for you, any particular female characters that stand out?
Yeah, I actually really like this question. If you don't mind, if I throw in a few manga characters as well?
Sure. Yeah, this is open to anything, definitely.
No manga.
Oh no. There's this shoujo manga called Dengeki Daisy. Joe might have heard of it, I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, shoujo, right?
Yeah. Heard of it. The main lead is called Terumo Kurebayashi, I believe that's how you pronounce her name. And she is awesome. In the very first chapter, very first pages, few pages actually, a friend of hers is getting bullied, and she steps in and helps him. But unlike the typical, you know, buff, strong female lead that you often see these days, she doesn't beat up her foes or anything like that. She just grabs a water hose and hoses them down. And it's just such a remarkable moment because it comes out of nowhere, and she does this again and again and again and again. Every single time you expect her to make something or say something stupid, he turns it around and she's like, nah, I'm not going to do something stupid. I'm going to do something that seems at least somewhat reasonable. And I really, really like that. That's pretty much what makes a female lead strong to me. It's not anything else. It's just they're not stupid, as so many other leads are. And going along with that, I have one other character, and that's, I believe a lot of people on Twitter were talking about this manga recently. Kanoko from Werewolf Kanoko-sama or Koi Dano Ai Dano. Megane from. She's pretty awesome too. She's pretty smart. And yeah, I don't know what else I can say about them really.
Yeah, if you're going to bring up manga characters, I've just started reading a manga called Girl of the Wild, and there's a character in there called Doll Doll. That is,
yes,
just,
I love her too.
Oh yeah, she's hilarious. Her character is just it makes that manga complete just watching her character do the quirky thing she does. Definitely,
yeah,
hilarious.
She's really I like how what you said. She's really upfront, but also very interesting to watch because she doesn't. She just, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but she's awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of love in the Twitter sphere for Doll Doll, definitely. But kind of moving on from characters you like, were there characters that you initially started to dislike, but then, you know, you're starting to watch the show, you get halfway through the season, whatever, and you realize, you know what, the character may not be as bad. Maybe my first impressions were wrong. You know, that there's something that really just start to grow on you. Reasoning, is there anything about that kind of comes to mind?
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said. What did you say?
Which character did you maybe dislike initially, but as the show progressed or as the manga progresses, you find something that you really actually like about that character, maybe you appreciate them more than you initially did?
Yeah, it was this season I've been watching Yoka, right? Hotaru's Magic Green Eyes, because Hotaru is quite awesome. And the main female lead, Chitanda Eru, in the first 5 episodes, I wanted to do nothing more than grab her head and smash her into a 6-foot concrete wall.
Aww.
I hated her so much at first. She was so annoying. But she became better. So, I mean, she's still a bit silly, but at least I enjoy watching her a bit more now. And I don't mind the Hotaru X Chitanda ship, so I'm okay with them being shipped. Before, I would be like, what a waste of potential. But now I'm okay with it. And maybe one more. Do you guys remember Nichijou from last year?
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You remember the robot girl, Nano?
Yeah.
Yeah, I found her boring at first. She was I didn't like it and the interaction between her and the little kid either. It was just kind of slow and boring, but then when she got to school and she had her own moment in the sun, I liked her a lot more. So that's another character that grew on me quite a bit.
If anything, my hatred for them grew and grew over time.
So no recovery for you, huh? Never came back?
No, they keep slipping every day in my life.
Yeah, that's true. Some of them do.
I'm sadly for me, I get a very limited time to watch anything. So if it's if something initially turns me off, I'm more likely to put it down and just never come back because I just don't have the time anymore to do it. And sometimes I may try to put something down, but then my daughter will definitely latch onto it. Especially the characters I dislike the most are perfect for a 4-year-old girl. also tell the things where I'm in contrast, where I end up watching something that may or may not dislike, and maybe I end up liking whatever it is a little more in the end, but definitely, definitely not. But Landon, what about you?
I'm going to go with, if you ever saw Air Master, the little short girl, Renge. At first, she was like totally obnoxious and your typical little kid character. But then I realized, I don't think she's actually a little kid. She's an actually, you know, the same age as all the other characters. She's just really, really short. And I was like, you know what, she's probably a midget, and that's actually kind of awesome for an anime. Because, you know, when you have short characters, they're either, you know, little kids compared to all the other characters. Or, you know, you got those, you know, old people characters. Where, you know, somehow once you become 80 years old, you, like, you know, lose half your height or whatever. And so, once I realized that, you know, she's just a short person, I don't know, that just kind of made me feel a little more sympathetic towards her. It's kind of bad or whatever. But she became less annoying when I realized that she wasn't just a kid. And then she actually became kind of awesome in a way. So that's just my weird taste there.
Huh. Yeah,
what exotic taste there?
I guess I'm very set on my views because either I like something or I don't like something. So there are very few characters that actually grew on me enough for me to like them because, you know, I make my opinions in like two to three episodes are just enough for me to decide that, okay, I'm going to watch this or I'm not going to watch this. And if if I hate someone, something, whatever, I'm just gonna go skip. So I'm kind of like, you know, Joe's opinion is kind of similar to me because I just cannot go back. You know, if I hate something, I will keep on hating it. My thinking will not change most probably. But yeah, there are very few characters, like maybe in the recent times, you can say Gilgamesh from Fate Zero. That guy grew on me. His arrogance and annoyance was so much that it just, like, it reacted in a different way on me. I mean, there are still a lot of people who really hate on him, and I totally agree with that because he's a flippin', he's literally a pompous bastard. You don't want him as a friend. You don't want him as anybody in your life. He's that kind of a arrogant person, but he's just so amusing. His lines are so amusing. I mean, in the end, when you just, you know, go replay some of his quotes, you'll laugh your ass off just going through them. So I think that's one of the very few people that I came to like, and for weird reasons rather than actually liking the character, because as a character I don't like him at all. And somebody just mentioned that how can you hate Chitanda. I don't know how can you hate Chitanda. She's so cute. I mean, when she says her typical line, she just, seriously,
well, she got better, but she wasn't always that cute. She was really pushy at first.
Yeah, she is. I think she's been pushy since forever, and I think I like the whole thing because, you know, she pushes Hotaro to get out of his, you know, shell of non-energizer, whatever, you know, lame version that he's at. So I think he's good at, you know, activating his brain rather than anybody else, because he was just a lazy bum before, you know?
She's his Green Lantern Marine, right?
She's, oh,
the,
yeah.
She's the power behind the magic.
Oh, yes.
Fair enough. But yeah, she got better. Well, I don't know why she got better, to be honest. It just...
She's still the same. I think she just grew on you.
Maybe.
On character-wise, she hasn't, you know, really changed. She still does the same things.
You could say her best on-screen performance, though, is when she got drunk and passed out. It's the best, acting yet.
That was actually good. That was funny.
That was funny.
So, keeping with the character theme again, is there a, which anime do you feel has assembled the best ensemble of characters, the best mix of character types? You know, combination of whatever it is, the Chitanda, the cheese with the detectives or whatnot. What have you guys seen that has that best mix of character types? Let's see, who hasn't gone first? Landon, why don't you go first on this one?
And I'm going to go back to the Book of Pontora with this one, because that anime had so many diverging characters that have come from so many different viewpoints because you basically have this war going on, and everybody looks at it in a different way. Everybody has their own little worldview, their own little philosophy going on. It all conflicts with each other, and nobody is ever right. It's not like a lot of these other series where one character's point of view is just, you know, jammed at you as this is what the writer wanted you to believe. And so it lets everybody's perspective on it come out, and also, at the same time, on a superficial level, everybody just has really cool powers that, you know, just play off of each other and everything. So you get the whole superpower thing where, like, you have people with, you know, can see into the future and all these cool powers, but at the same time, what makes it really cool is the way that all their viewpoints come together and clash with each other. Even people on the same side of the war or whatever have completely, you know, opposing viewpoints. And so that's what really, really makes me think that's one of my favorite anime of all time, is that cast and the way they all play off of each other.
So basically they're great because they just throw stuff at each other and they just bounce it right back and keeps going like that, right? I guess.
Pretty much, yeah.
I see.
What about you, Reason? What about what anime has the best cast of characters, regardless of plot? I mean, even if the characters work well together, regardless of what's going on the edge.
I would have to say probably School Rumble again. I know it's a really cliche choice, but it just, everything just plays off so well in that anime, you know. Just flows really well. All the character interactions are pretty funny. There's a reason why so many different ships exist for that anime, right? Because every single character is quite shippable and quite awesome, except for maybe Tenma. I don't think anyone really likes her. But in general, School Rumble, and if you want a second opinion, I'd have to say One Piece, which is, and that, again, quite cliche too, but can't help it. Sorry.
You okay?
I think School Rumble was a very good choice. I liked it myself, but my choice has to be Durarara. Bakano was a close second, as Dave said, but I really, really liked the cast of Durarara just because of its diversity and just the way the whole chemistry between the characters, you know, play around each other. I mean, at one point there were certain arcs that only had certain characters, but then they were full, I mean, everything just, you know, played around across each other to the maximum limit that, you know, every those little arcs actually came together into a big freaking plot by the end. So I think I really, really, I mean, I enjoyed that show too much. And not just because the characters were great, the voice cast was great, Brainspace did such a good job with it. I mean, I'm sure there are still a lot of people who are waiting for that, I don't know when, second season announcement. But seriously, this needs more love, and this needs more, you can say, a sequel for sure.
It's another anime I need to watch one of these days. You guys keep telling me.
She mentioned
Durarara, and yeah, that's the first one I thought of too. Just, I'm a big fan of Guy Ritchie and things like, you know, the movie Snatch and Lock, Stock, and so it's a very similar writing style along with directing style with that. But then, like she said, the characters fit into that so well, and how they play off each other and how they mix in the end. It's definitely a great cast of characters. I haven't seen Bakano yet. That's the next on my forever watch list. But yeah, it's definitely.
If you like Durarara, you might even like Bakano even more.
Yeah, that's what I.
Bakano is Durarara with an actual ending.
Yeah, you're right, because there was an ending in Durarara. You're like, what the hell? I want to know more. Why is it ending here?
Stuff happened, and then the series ended.
Yeah, without any conclusion. Seriously.
That always sucks.
Definitely. It's never good. We can go into pet peeves of shows, but that's definitely one of mine. I like a conclusion. But I think we're down to looking for some questions from our guests now at this point. I mean, we've had a lot of chatter on our chat window here on the social stream. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
We're looking at some of these best ensemble casts. We've got the great Crisley, who will always go with something ending in cure.
Precure, deleted.
Precure, pretty cure, whatever it's going to be. It's going to be a cure from the Criz. But let's bring that up for a point. The Pretty Cure franchise always revolves around two, I think it does, maybe I'm wrong, two female characters. Do you guys see those, in the magical girl genre, do you see the Pretty Cure leads as being a strong female in the magical girl sense, or is it more cliche and they just kind of keep changing the plot around a generic pairing of magical girls?
There's nothing wrong with it being generic, because you're always going to have little kids where that's their first series. So I don't mind when they recycle stuff like that.
Yeah, he makes a good point. There's no real need to be super special, and I haven't seen Precure, but magical series in general tend to be quite formulaic in this sense, right? They tend to all be magic, ordinary girl encounters some magic beast. Magic beast tells her or gives her powers, and then she goes and fights off demons, right? But I guess in a way they are strong, because it does take a bit of character to be willing to put yourself at risk for the planet's sake, I suppose. But I guess conversely, you might be really weak too, because you're just giving it to social pressure. But Cardcaptor Sakura actually is a pretty strong female lead, if I recall correctly. I like Sakura, she's pretty cool.
And Sakura has an awesome pet too. Very awesome pet.
Yeah, the pet's pretty cool. He's quite awesome.
Mm-hmm. So somebody asked, is there a, say from this series, from this season's series, was there a cast of characters that stood out in particular amongst the, granted, a bunch of great shows this season. Any one in particular that had a great cast of characters?
Polar Bear Cafe. I love how those three characters play off of each other, because it's basically a sitcom where you have three jerks. They're all jerks in different ways, and they are just perfect for each other.
Gotta love Panda, right? He's quite a lazy bastard, that's for sure.
Don't you just want to slap him? Don't you just want to slap him? Oh my god, seriously. Panda annoys me to no end. I mean, I love the show, but he's like always lazing about, and I mean, I love those scenes when his mother goes, and his mother is actually a male voice actor, and he goes, you know, sucking him in. I mean, seriously, that dude needs to grow up fast.
Polar bear never should change, or panda bear should never change.
Polar bear is fine, man. He's a cool bro, but oh my god, Panda, I want to kick his ass just because for being so lazy.
So let's go about this. We've talked about our favorite characters. Let's do. I got two questions for you. The first one is, what would be the worst character in your favorite show?
Oh, this is a good one.
Think about it a second here.
Yeah.
If you've got something offhand, go ahead and chime in.
Worst character. Okay, I'll pick up remember Sola Ui from Fate Zero? I just wanted to, you know, skank her or something, seriously. She's your typical, you know, yandere character who is there for a reason, but, you know, no reason at all. I think she didn't get enough screen time for me to hate her really. For a long time, but I just really just wanted to strangle her or something, just because she was being a total bitch to El Molloy, even when I don't like him, but still she was a total bitch to him. And even if, I mean, she was kinda, taken over by Lance's beauty or something, but it was just bad seeing her go all emotional, because she was supposed to be a very good Magus, even maybe in some parts better than Kaneth, which just, you know, went off the hook, and you never even find out what happened. So I think she was the character that really pissed me off, and not needed in the series for sure.
Reezing, what about you?
This is a really tough one. I'm trying to think. I'm sure that there have been many characters I hated. Like, I didn't actually sound at first. That was one. But I guess in Archie Kochi, which is running right now, I don't like Hime that much. I like the rest of the cast quite a bit. Hime annoys me just because he's always bleeding from her nose. It gets old after a while. And darn, I'm sure there's some other characters that I really, really hate with a passion and shows I love. I can't think of any right now.
Landon, what about yourself?
I'm going to have to say Ed from Cowboy Bebop.
Ooh.
Not because Ed was a bad character. It's just that Ed had my least favorite episode centered around her, which was the mushroom episode. It just didn't do anything for me. So I don't really hate Ed. It's just, yeah, that one episode, and that's probably the closest I can think of anything.
Yeah, I never found Ed to be that exciting, to be honest. I mean, she's not bad, but just, eh.
The best thing about Ed is that we get that episode with her father, and her father was awesome.
Okay, so another question for you guys. Which character do you think experienced the most character growth within a series, or within a season?
Yeah.
I know we're going to they have tough questions for you guys tonight.
Yeah, they do. I wish I had a good list of anime I liked. This would really help right now.
The problem with a character-driven
show, right?
And
yeah, let's not talk about Ichigo or, you know, those stupid shonen shows.
I'm not, but they're not that stupid.
I'll keep my comments to myself.
No. There's no character growth in shonen. That's a fact, pretty much.
You could say, what about like something like Gundam Mage? There's definitely some character change there, some character growth. I guess because you're constantly cycling characters. But there's a definite, I guess it is shonen-esque, but there's some definite character change. I don't know if it's character growth, but there's definitely some thought process change. And we're seeing that just in the last episode where you kind of get to look at things through the enemy's eyes. And it definitely, you begin to see a change in Dio's character from that.
Which show? Hunter x Hunter?
And Gundam Age. We're in the
third age right now.
The newest pilot. He gets captured, gets thrown into the enemy camp, and they allow him to experience what's going on around him. So you're definitely seeing what could be a change of heart. We'll have to see what the next two shows come out as.
Yeah,
there's
definitely potential there
for a character change.
Well, I can add in Yuki from Suritama. He has had some really good progress, at least in his personality perspective. Because when you start the series, he's like such a... he's a completely, you know, a guy on his own, and he's too scared of speaking his own mind, and he always goes to different lengths, like as if he's being drowned in water, he can't, you know, speak properly. But then with the alien coming in, and, you know, he actually making some friends, he actually, you know, becomes a normal person. So you can actually see his progress from just a nobody to somebody by at least the recent episodes, and you see him grow in everything and not just in fishing or become a pro fisher or something. So I think that's very interesting. That was very interesting.
That's actually a very good example, and I just came up with one too. It's just from a manga, and it's one of my all-time favorite seinen manga. It's a manga that's about, how do I put this, masturbation, I guess, called Onani Master Kurosawa. The main character, massive character growth from the beginning to the end, and yeah, he grows a lot. There's sometimes in the series where you just want to go, come on, that was such a stupid but useful thing for him to do, things that, you know, you wouldn't expect most 14-year-olds to do, but it's not totally out of thought that they would do it. And then by the end, you're like, yeah, this kid's grown up. I'm proud of him. So, yeah, that's definitely a manga you guys should read. And main character is excellent. grows a lot.
Landon, what are your thoughts?
It's not really growth, but it's regression. And it's a recent series, Milky Homes, where the characters have go down this descent into such utter patheticness. Each episode, they get worse and worse and worse and more pathetic. And it is beautiful. They start off at the height, and they just drop and drop and drop and drop. So you could call that growth in a way. It's just, you know, going on the negative side of the Venn diagram or whatever there.
Yeah, that's a really funny thing about Milky Homes. I only watched the first season, but that was... Yeah,
the second season is even better. I loved it.
Yeah, those girls go from being the most popular kids in school to... Yeah.
And they never stop falling.
Quite funny.
So, last character question, and then we've got one more after that. So, of all your favorite main characters, what's your favorite side character? Or your favorite supporting character?
In a way, a wingman.
Yeah, what's your favorite wingman or wingwoman?
Yeah.
Your favorite sidekick?
Who's watching Jormungand? You know, the side lady for Coco? Her name was what? Not Lem. I forgot her name.
Oh, the big buff chick?
What?
The big buff chick?
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
I mean, she's a crazy girl. She's a crazy, crazy woman who has an eye patch and who's an amazing bodyguard. And, of course, she has a crush on Coco. But, you know, it's just, you know, going, I mean, seeing her, I mean, you don't really see a lot of, you know, strong women in anime. So I was really like, kind of, you can, Valmet, yes, thank you, numbers, Valmet, I forgot her name because I haven't checked out the last two episodes yet, so she has been amazing, and I think she's an awesome wingman for Coco, because Coco is loco, everyone knows that, so you need, you need a loco wingman, and she's exactly loco enough for doing that.
I'd go with, like, Jim from Outlaw Star. He's the only thing that keeps things going and sane. I mean, for being a 12-year-old kid, he actually has the most brains of anybody on the ship, to be honest. So he provides that kind of...
That poor kid got no respect.
I know he didn't, but he was kind of the anchor behind the whole thing. So I give a lot of credit to him as a side character. Landon, what do you think of?
Killua from Hunter x Hunter. He's an excellent best friend to Gon.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
Yeah, those two are one of my favorite and best romance pairs you can find in manga or anime. I love them. And Killua knows Gon really well, and he goes out of his way to make sure Gon doesn't suffer and stuff. Fun to watch and read.
Landon, did I get something from you already?
I'm probably just going to go with a pretty stereotypical one. I'll go with Jet Black from Cowboy Bebop. Because, yeah, kind of like, what's his face from Outlaw Star? He's the only one with any kind of real sense on that ship. And he's the glue that keeps it together. He's basically the ship mom.
Yeah, Jet's pretty awesome.
And then, how about this? We'll step away from characters for a second. We'll do one last question. How many episodes for a show is too long? Like, at what point does it kind of lose momentum?
I guess in the recent times, you don't really see a lot of long-running shows. I mean, in the recent times, the best example could be of Natsume Yuujinjo, which has gone over, like, 4 seasons. But if you, like, you know, rewind back to maybe 20 years, there were a lot of shows that actually hit over 50 episodes or even, like, 60 to 80 episodes. Depending on the plot, I guess you can say that it has gone way overboard or it has gotten boring and stuff. Right now, the max you get is like a second core or a third season, and that's it. There are very few titles right now which is actually getting a fourth season, maybe. And this is, I'm not talking about Queen's Blade, guys, seriously. That franchise is just, ugh.
Queen's Blade is deep and stuff, though.
Deep and with, you know, those, I don't even want to name them, so. I guess in the current state, you can say it's over 50. If you asked me this question like 20 years ago, I would say 100 maybe. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I've seen a lot of shows where at 26, you're like, good grief, I'm divided and done.
Yeah, it's the plot thing, I guess.
It depends on how it goes back to this character questions that you got. If you got a good lead character, a good ensemble of characters, and if you can back it up with a decent plot, you know, 26 can be way too short, Jura being a great example. But then you get a show where the characters are just, there's nothing to them, the plot's terrible, and the scenery is garbage, you know, you're probably going to drop it pretty quick. You wouldn't want to get out of there pretty quick.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, as good as a long plot might be, if the characters get stagnant after a while, even if you have a good plot, you get bored of it. Just because, you know, I watch shows mostly for the characters themselves, right? And sometimes good mysteries might keep me enticed, but otherwise, no, if the characters go stale, that's it. And a good example would be, well, anything pretty much about 26 episodes or so tends to get boring. I don't mean, yeah. That's all right. Yeah. Nowadays, you say anyway.
I think it's one of those situations where, yeah, this really depends on what the series is going for. Like going back to Polar Bear Cafe, I could probably watch hundreds and hundreds of episodes of that, and I don't think it would get old.
Yeah, it's because the characters are hilarious.
When you have an actual story-driven series, it actually is probably better if you have fewer episodes to tell that story in, because then you're forced to condense that story and keep it moving. But yeah, so like if you just have, you know, like a character-driven comedy or something like that, yeah, that could just keep on going. But then, like, just, I've been talking about Cowboy Bebop a little bit. Pretty much every episode is a standalone story, and then there's a few episodes scattered about that get to what everybody calls the real story. And that's kind of like an ideal thing, where each episode is its own contained story rather than spreading it out amongst a whole bunch of episodes. And that's really kind of my problem with a lot of recent series, is that they'll take a story that could be told in a few episodes or a movie, and then they'll just stretch it out, and it just kind of gets tedious.
Yeah, they add too much stuff to it, yeah.
Good point. So I appreciate our viewers tonight for submitting some great questions, but we are going to stop with that. For my guests, are there any final thoughts, any last words you want to say before we close up for tonight? Landon, why don't you start?
Fujiko is the best anime of the season, no question.
Nice. Well, I've only seen 2 episodes, but still, I'm sure that's a lie. As for my final thoughts, I like Gachi Koji. There, I said it. Okay.
It's cute. It's really cute.
It is. It's quite fun to watch too.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you? Any final thoughts?
First of all, I would actually like to thank Joe for inviting me. I really had fun talking to you guys. What else? In case of anime, I guess, I think the shows that I like, you guys are already watching. Fate Zero, what the hell, it just ended. Like, I'm kind of sad.
Yeah.
This was the anime for me of the season, at least of this year till now. So I'm kind of really, really sad just to go, you know, see it go away and end or whatever. But I guess I can always go and play the SSN visual novel right now just to for the continuation of the story. Some blatant advertising because, sorry guys, we are still in the Aniblog tourney. So anybody who's there, do vote for Methnon, all right?
I was going to say, I've had plenty of current current battlees right now, the top 16 that have been on the show. So for those that have listened regularly, vote for those people that have come on. That's my plug, Metanorn being one. I have lower mid-table, Emperor Jay has been on. Vote for him as well. But yeah, definitely.
Oh, yes.
For those that have,
yes,
for those that have,
Yes, we can,
Emperor Jay. But yeah, so for those guests that have been on my show, definitely I'm voting your way. But I appreciate anybody who comes on and also watches as well. But yes, ABT plug for those who kept bugging me on the social stream. Thank you. But yeah, thanks again, guys. I appreciate you being here tonight. It's been a lot of fun on our character emphasis night. We talked, you know, character-driven show.
Thanks a lot for having me on, guys.
It was fun.
As always, you can find these tomorrow afternoon on joeanimated.wordpress.com. There's even a podcast feed for those who may want to pull snippets of the audio out. And if you're interested in being on like these guests have been, you can email me at gmail.com, and we'll be happy to have you on and talk about anime or manga, whatever is your interest. Again, thank you, and good night.
Night.